All right. Thank you so much for that. Good job, kids. Amen. Good job. And that is, we divided our junior choir. Our junior choirs have been growing. Our junior choir had been growing to the point. And Mrs. Hernandez doing a spectacular job in heading up our junior choir all these years. And it just kept growing and growing to the point that we thought we needed to go ahead and divide it. And so now we have two junior choirs, and that was absolutely great. Thank you so much for that. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you'll see the stories. Of course, here is Elijah. There's the time of Mount Carmel. And there are those that is going to be there, the prophets, of course, of Baal. You'll read about here in a little bit. But then you see that Elijah is now talking, and he's giving, if you would please, a statement and asking a question to these people. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, as I'll read again, he says this. He says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now there's your question. How long halt ye between two opinions? He says, "If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, and this is the 29th lesson, but let me talk to you tonight on how to deal with opinions, how to deal with opinions. Opinions, or the word opinion, is mentioned four times in your Bible, and of course, mishandled opinions can hurt many people in churches, but it's mentioned four times in your Bible. Three of those times is mentioned in the book of Job. In Job chapter 32, you'll see three of the four times mentioned that's in your Bible. In Job chapter 32 and verse 6, he says, "I am young, and ye are very old, wherefore I am afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion." Now, here's a friend of Job. The friend that Job has is younger than Job himself, and he says, now look, he says, "I'm young, and you're old." And he said, "I'm just afraid to share my opinion because you're older than I am." In Job chapter 32 and verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I said, hearken to me, I also will show my opinion." By the way, it's the same guy, so he's getting a little bit bolder. Job chapter 32 and verse 17, he says, "I said, I will answer also my part, I also will show my opinion." And so he goes from, "I'm afraid," to, "I will," and then he does. Here's what we see about this young man. Of course, this young man admits in verses 1 and 2, his name is Elihu, and he admits that he's reacting in verse 1 and 2 in anger and in wrath. In verses 6 and 7, you'll see that he admits that he's young. He admits that he's expressing himself to an older, wiser man. Then in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, you'll see that there is another mention, if you would please, of the word opinion. Now, in the Webster's Dictionary, when it talks about an opinion, it's talking about an opinionated person. An opinionated person, of course, is someone that is obstinately, if you would, or very directly or very demanding about their opinion. They want to adhere to it as to far their opinion is. Then the word opinion means this. It means a belief stronger than impression, but less stronger than a positive knowledge. So it is stronger than an impression, but it is less stronger than knowledge or positive knowledge. When you get into the Webster's Dictionary, you'll see this. In the thesaurus, you'll see that the word opinion simply means this. It means someone's estimate. It means speculation, it means assumption, theory, or that which is somebody supposing something, somebody just, like I said, speculating or thinking, but yet not much facts there. You can read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21 where Elijah comes, and Elijah, as I read a moment ago, said this, "Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Now you understand there was 400 false prophets of Baal that was present. Elijah is present. And Elijah said, you're hung up on two opinions. You're hung up on two opinions. You're hung up on whether you should follow me or whether you should not follow me. He said, you're hung up on two opinions. And by the way, he said, here's what you ought to do. You ought to follow the truth. Now, the true God is proven. God is a factual God. God, though he has opinions, has a right to have opinions, and God's opinions are always right. Matter of fact, in the Hebrew word for opinion simply means this. It's defined as follows: double-minded, divided in heart and thoughts, troubled thoughts, division, one who mentally is hobbling around on crutches. The same Greek word is used for whispering gossip. Whispering gossip, the word opinion. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So here's what we understand. Somebody that whispers gossip is unstable in all of his ways. All right? So we understand that somebody that is going around, I agree with this, I don't agree with this, all right, and they're talking, maybe they're at a business someplace, you know, and boy, you know, this bothers me, this doesn't bother me, and they're always giving their opinion, then what takes place is it also shows a degree of unstableness in the mind. According to the Bible, the definition for opinion is something that God looks at as being very, very cautious about. And God, of course, looks at that and he identifies that as an opinionated person. And God tends to lean a little bit more negative than what we think when it comes to that thing about opinionated ways. Now, let's understand what the Bible talks about, if we may, tonight. Statement number one, God's commands are not his opinions. God's commands are not his opinions. Well, you know, that's just the way the Lord feels. No, no. It's more than just the way the Lord feels. It's the way that you and I ought to believe. Because the Bible is not a Bible of opinions. The Bible is the Bible of principles. Principles. All right? So it's, well, you know, God said that and I'll consider it. No, 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 no. It ought to be God said that and that settles it. All right? God's word is truth. Now, may we look at it tonight. I put the verses in there. I want you to see them tonight because if I go rapidly, I want you to be able to see them and catch up without trying to find one and miss them. But over in Psalms 119, verse 142, the Bible says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. All right, so we understand this, that when you look at the Bible, and we look at the commandments, and we look at the principles of the Word of God is truth. It's not up for debate tonight. It's not up for should we believe it, should we not? You know, should I do what he says, or should I not? No, it is truth. Then we see this. We see that God's Word is pure. Psalms 119, verse 140 says this, thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. All right, so here's what he says. He said, the Word of God is pure. Now, we can't say that about all men, but the Word of God is pure. Psalms 12, and in verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So it's pure words. We see that God's Word is fact, is fact. Here's what it says in Psalms 19, in verse 7. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We see this, that by following God's word, it helps us to clean up our personal opinions. By following God's word, it helps us to clean up our personal opinions. Over in Psalms 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the word of God is a cleansing agent that helps to cleanse our opinions up. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Again, it's a cleansing word. God's word is right. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing, it says, the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. the Word of God, we understand, and the commandments are not opinions, though God has a right to have an opinion. But when you understand the Word of God is not just an opinion, the Word of God and His commandments are not an opinion, but can I tell you this? It ought to be our convictions. I'm supposed to agree with God. By the way, there's no wiser person. Do you believe that? There's no wiser person in the world that you could agree with other than God. Is that right? How many believe that God has ever made a mistake? Raise your hand. Now, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Put it down. All right? And so, but God is perfect. God is perfect. Now, if I'm going to line myself up with somebody that I want to align myself up with, I think I would rather align myself up with somebody that is perfect and possesses all wisdom than somebody that does not possess all wisdom. Is that right? Okay. All right. And so we understand this, that if the Bible, think about it, if it's in the Bible, then it's not an opinion. Now, I said God has a right to have an opinion. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? But I would tell you this, that if it's in the Bible, it's not an opinion. It is truth. It is truth. You remember what an opinion is. An opinion is not based on necessarily truth. It is based on a thought. It is based on something, if you would please, that could be true or not be true. It's based on that which is speculation and assumption. It's based on a theory. But there's not necessarily the facts to back it up. That's what an opinion is. All right? And so we understand that God's Word has the facts to back up everything in which He says. Statement number two, let's give God not only His commands, but also His preferences. Let's give God not only His commands, but also His preferences. Now, I want you to think about this, if you will. So, I ought to consider giving God not only what He demands, His commands, but also His wishes, His preferences. That's what preferences are, His wishes. All right? And by the way, if you'll do that for others, then why don't you do that for God? Does that make sense? If Mrs. Wells has a preference, and she likes a certain drink, and she does. She likes sweet tea. She likes more sugar than water in the tea, or more sugar than tea in the pot, all right? But like sweet tea. Now, wait a minute, watch this. But if she likes a certain drink, then I'm not going to just wet a rag or wet a cloth and throw it at her. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to get her favorite drink. I'm going to serve it just exactly right, okay? Now, why? Because I love her, and because I love her, I want to do special things for her. Now, the same way it is, the way it ought to be in our life when we love God. God, I'll just give you the leftovers. God said, I don't want the leftovers. Well, if God doesn't want the leftovers, then you don't give Him the leftovers. See? What about that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of who? Kingdom of? So I guess He is important, okay? Statement number three, we must understand the difference between spiritual convictions and opinions. We must understand the difference between spiritual convictions and opinions. A conviction is something that is clearly and dogmatically proven in the Bible. That's a conviction. Something that is clearly and dogmatically proven in the Bible. A conviction is something that we should be willing to stand for no matter what. Willing to stand for it no matter what. A conviction, to me, is not my conviction, but God's. But God's. That God said, this is what we ought to do. Now, that's a conviction. All right, now, wait a minute. Again, I should adopt in my life God's convictions, all right? So if it's God's conviction, then it ought to be my conviction. If it is God's conviction, it ought to be my conviction. I'll be honest with you, I've been appalled over the years that I've been preaching, from being a young preacher to being now close to a middle-aged preacher. I've been appalled by preachers that have thought that they had the right to change truth based on their opinion. I've been appalled by that. Now, if it's in the Bible and you can prove it from the Bible, then you stand true with the Bible. The Bible doesn't change. All right? Now, let's look at some observations about our opinions and the opinions of others. Let's look at it. Let's consider it. Now, we're talking about opinions. What is an opinion? It's a speculation. What is an opinion tonight? Well, an opinion is just not a speculation, but an opinion's a theory. It's something that you're supposing. It is something that you're assuming. It is something that you are estimating. All right, so let's look at some opinions, if we could, tonight and give some observations about the opinions, our own opinions, and, of course, the opinions of others. Statement number one, remember, everybody has an opinion, not just you. Everybody has an opinion, not just you. Okay, statement number two, opinions do not have to be expressed. Just because you think it does not mean you have to say it. By the way, that'll keep your marriage happy. All right, but opinions do not have to be expressed. Statement number three, please remember this, that opinions are just that, opinions. That's all they are. It's somebody's speculation. It's somebody's theory. It's somebody's estimate. Somebody is supposing something. Somebody, if you would please, is assuming something. All it is an opinion. Okay, now don't split, don't leave, or don't fight over opinions. It's not worth it. Can I tell you something? Opinions carry more emotional drama with them than facts. All right, stay with the thoughts tonight. Okay, if my observation, think about this. In my observation, here's what I see, that strongly opinionated people do not receive opinions as well as they give them. Most people that are strongly opinionated do not receive other people's opinions very well. Opinionated people are not often approachable. People that are highly opinionated, they're not often approachable. Opinionated people usually talk too much. Now, may I say they talk too much and say too little. But they talk too much. They don't know when to quit. They just have no idea when to cut it off. By the way, they want to argue their way or their opinion. Opinionated people. Now, by the way, I prefer a conservative opinion rather than a weak one or a liberal one. I'd rather have a conservative one. Opinionated people need to learn to respond slowly. Slowly. Opinionated people are too strong many times. They're too strong. They want to press their agenda. Now, by the way, if it's not God's agenda, if it's not God's agenda, then you should not press it to make it look like it's more of a conviction than it is an opinion. All right? Strong convictions, stay with me, strong convictions many times will accompany strong opinions. But if we're not careful, we'll get our convictions mixed up with our opinions. And we will put them on the same level. The problem with that is that your opinion doesn't matter, but your conviction does. Because a conviction is based on the Bible, and your opinion is based on you. Hello. What's an opinion? A commentary. What's a conviction? The Bible. Somebody says, well, I read this in this commentary, and it must mean this in the Bible. You got it backwards. You should be saying, I read this in the Bible, and maybe I read this in the commentary, and the commentary is wrong. You would take another man's word over truth, and that is backwards. But opinionated people need to learn to respond slowly. Opinionated people are very strong in their opinions, and if they're not careful, they will make their opinions to be just as strong as conviction. Conviction is based on Bible. Opinions is based on that which is a personal stimuli and personal theory. As a follower, here's what I learned from my leader's opinion. I was an assistant pastor for 10 years under two great men of God. as I was assistant pastor, I here's what I did. I yielded my opinion to my pastor because I was there to represent him in his stead when he could not be present. All right? And so, by the way, that's what those did that followed Jesus. That's what the children are supposed to do with their parents. That's what the employee is supposed to do with the employer. You don't go into McDonald's and say, well, I tell you what, this corporation's been wrong for over 50 years, and now I'm here. Let me show you the way it really should be done. You don't do that. No. Opinionated people are usually the first ones to become disloyal. Opinionated people. Now, not Bible believers. I'm not talking about Bible believers. I'm talking about opinionated people. When they're highly opinionated, they're normally the first ones that become disloyal to truth. Opinionated people normally tend to be out of control and won't receive lessons that need to be taught. Opinionated people. They must make the statement to justify their misbehavior. They have to make statements in order to justify themselves in the eyes of others. Because after all, you're going to hurt their feelings if you get on their opinions. Overly opinionated people will sometimes, if you will please, hurt others. But they always blame the weakest, if you would please, of the ones that they hurt. They'll always blame somebody else, and it's normally the weakest one that they hurt. Opinionated people, and I'm talking about overly opinionated people. Opinionated people, and by the way, everybody has opinions. You understand that? We're talking about people that use their opinions the wrong way. But opinionated people always feel the need to put in the last word. They must have the last word. Now, they may say it to you as you're walking out of the room, but they must have the last word. Now, by the way, don't argue with opinionated people. I don't. You shouldn't. It's not worth it. You will not make any headway. You won't make any headway. So don't argue with them. Now, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. You might have to wait for a reasonable time to be able to give them a truth. But if they're staunch right now, oh, they're staunch in their opinion, and their opinion is as truthful as the Bible, and you can tell that they're blatant about it, you can't talk to somebody like that. You can't do it. You can't do it. They're out of control. You can't do it. So what do? You wait. You pick a time. You pick a season to be able to help them to learn truth. It's my experience that most, but not all, strongly opinionated people normally have rage problems. They normally have rage problems. They will normally wind up saying words they should not say. They will normally lose their temper. They will normally go storming out of a house and make a scene. They will normally be like the Walmart queen that jumps up and down to try and get their way. They normally, a person that is highly opinionated, if you would please, strongly opinionated. Not all of them. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying, but in most cases, I've seen that they have rage problems. Strongly opinionated people usually have an extra battle with pride. People that are very strongly opinionated normally have an extra battle with pride. You know why? Because they feel like they always have to defend themselves because they are always right. See, let me show you a difference, okay? How you say, but preacher, you're saying that we shouldn't be strong? No, I didn't say that. You ought to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Thus saith the Bible. This is what God says. This is what we ought to do because this is what God said. Now, remember, there's a difference between a conviction and an opinion. And an opinion is not based on an absolute. It's based on an assumption. It's based on a theory. There's no facts. But that which is a conviction is based on the solitary truths of the Word of God. On the Bible, you can stand firm where God stands firm. But if the Bible is not firm about it, don't take God's place. All right? So strongly opinionated people usually have an extra battle with that, which is pride. Strongly opinionated people need to learn that that your way is not always the right way, stay with me, and not always the only way. Strongly opinionated people have to learn that they're not always right. And in being that person, and watch this. You know where pride comes in? Here's where pride comes in. You ready? I make a decision. Ooh, it was right. I make another decision. Ooh, it was right. I make another decision. Ooh, it is right. Okay, I've watched preachers go through this. Now, I have a right to talk about them because I is one. I've watched preachers do this. When they first started preaching, they relied heavy on God. Heavy on God. God, give me your power. 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 Then all of a sudden, they get used to the style of delivery. They get used to giving a certain type of dynamic, if you will. They lose the dependence on God. And now all of a sudden, they get up. They could preach with or without God's presence. Doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. I mean, they got it down, man. They know how to do it. They know how to get a crowd. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. They know how to get a crowd. They know how to hang it up there to get somebody to say amen. They know. They've had experience doing it for all these years. They know what they're doing. They know how to give an invitation. Now, I'm not down on preachers. I is one. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that what happens, here's the thing. If a person is not careful, you can become such an expert in your own eyes as a preacher, as a daddy, as a businessman, that God is found nowhere within sight of your natural environment. We have to be careful about that. You know this? Watch this. Let me show you something. Watch this. Teenagers, look at me. Look at me right here. You can become so used to coming to church and growing up in a fundamental Baptist church, stay with me, that it's now just a method. And in your heart, you're becoming more worldly and more worldly and more, and you know what you're doing is not right. You know what you're doing is not right. But you are so used to not doing what is right, now that becomes the mainstay person that you really are. Hello? You know, a person can get so used to coming to church late that they believe that it's right. You know, a person can get so used to only reading a segment of verses a day that they actually believe that they're right. You know a person can get so used to waiting and studying their Sunday school lesson on the way to church by cocking it on the steering wheel that they believe that that's the way God's going to really bless. Did you know that? Used to be a person get up and they'd be scared to death before they sing. Now they get up and it's more of a performance of how I did rather than how God could use me. All right, now wait a minute. Now what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that the more that we become successful in any vein of success, the more, if we're not careful, pride sits in. And when pride sits in, the more opinionated we become, even if we're not walking with God, we share our own opinions that is so far and from God that it makes it look like that it's Bible truth. By the way, that's how cults start. That's exactly how cults start. Where people get up, preachers get up, and they preach their opinions versus the Bible. And now it's built on a man rather than Bible truth. Now let God be God and every man a liar. But always go back to the Bible. Always go back to Bible truth. Always go back to what the Bible says. That's where you get your convictions. That's where you get your principle. That's where you get how to live. And by the way, if God says something, I ought to have a right to make a choice. I either obey him or I don't obey him. That's my choice. However, I do have to accept the fact that God is right. All right, so we understand this. Statement number next, and lastly, number five. Learn to teach conviction strongly and opinions lightly. Learn to teach to your children. Learn to teach, if you would please, to those around you. Conviction strong, strong, strong. Keep them strong. But opinions, keep them light. Keep them light. Okay? Now I'll tell you this. As a parent, you ought to be able and have the right and do share your preferences with your children and your opinions with your children. Amen. That's called reasoning. That's called helping them. But now when it comes to sharing Bible truth, these things are not up for exchange. These things are not up for, well, let's deliberate over. No, we're not going to deliberate over nothing. Here's what God says. Here's the way it is. Point blank. Period. People that have their, well, I tell you what, I think their family needs family time, family time, family time, family time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to skip church and have family time. Okay, here's a person who says, well, I'll tell you what, here's where I am. I believe that God can use any type of music, and so therefore, but when God says something about music, don't you think that you ought to obey what he says? Well, sure. Well, you know, I think I need to go down to this Half-Price Books, and I need to find me a good book on how to have a good relationship. Well, why don't you just read the Bible? The Bible is the best book you could ever have to give you principles to be able to know exactly what to do, when to do, how to do, and where to do. All right, so you pick up your Bible. You obey the Bible. Now, I'm telling you, as long as I'm your pastor, it's always going to be back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Bible. Thus saith the word of God, back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Bible. This is what God says. You know why? Because you're going to give an answer to what God says. You're not going to give an answer. You're not going to, judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to be standing beside the Lord and all of a sudden you have to testify before me and the Lord. No, I'm going to be sitting down there with you. Hello. And it's going to be the Bible. And by the way, you listen, your convictions would not change if you knew they were from the Bible. Wouldn't change. But man's opinion changes all the time. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. These men, they call them weathermen. Weathermen. You know, they give their opinion about the weather. What is it? On any given day in Texas, it's here. And just hit a dead line straight across. They'll hit it sometime. All right, now I'm saying this. Just to be truthful and honest with God, let's take God's word and look at it as conviction. But let's take man's word and look at it, unless it is convictionally based from the Bible, as opinion. As opinion. And be careful, if I were you, about always sharing your opinion strongly with others. Strongly with others, like you're putting it up there like it's Bible doctrine. Be careful. You're going to make some people stumble. You're going to make some people trip. And you don't want to do that. You always want to be able to come back to the Bible.